I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning on bringing heaven to earth. How many of you know that there's things in heaven that God wants to send to earth? A clue is he sent Jesus. That was one thing that was in heaven. Another clue is he sent the Holy Spirit and had him stay. That's another thing heaven sent us. And there are other things that God wants us to have from heaven. The scripture says, eye has not seen or ear heard. What the Lord has for those that love him. But listen, he didn't say anywhere that you need to wait for some other time or wait to go to heaven. It's clear from the scripture that he has an intention that heaven will come to us. And bit by bit, we are receiving the things of heaven. Now, I want to give you some scriptures. Genesis 49:25 says, even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. In Deuteronomy 11:21, he says, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children. Now listen to the will of God. In the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. How are you going to have heaven upon the earth if you don't get the things of heaven into this earth? This is the will of God. Psalm 115:16 says, the heaven, even the heaven of heavens, are the Lord, but the earth he has given to the children of men. The Lord has given us this earth, and the scripture says the meek will inherit the earth. Many scriptures will show you that his plan is for his people to have this earth and to rule and reign ultimately in the earth. A clear intention to transfer the blessing of heaven to earth. And we know this because when Jesus, the only time he ever taught us a prayer, how to pray, the focal point of that prayer was, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, on earth. The will of God be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Why would Jesus have us pray this if that's not the will of God? God doesn't play games. And you know what? God's not religious. God doesn't go through motions. God doesn't get involved in all kinds of practices and disciplines. But God is a real God who meets the real needs of real people. How can we bring the blessing of heaven and or the will of God to earth? He says he wants the will of God brought to the earth. Now, some people are real mixed up about the will of God. And they think that whatever happens is the will of God. That is really so sad. The will of God is not always done. It is not the will of God for babies to be aborted. It is not the will of God that any should perish. Many of these things that happen daily in the world are not the will of God. But we have an enemy. But God has given us a remedy. And that remedy is prayer. And prayer is reaching into heaven and getting what heaven has to give us. Prayer brings heaven to earth. Now, I want to tell you something. If you had any little thought that the will of God is always done, I want to ask you this question. Do you always do the will of God? Well, that's it. You know, it's not complicated. You don't have to get philosophical. No. That's why you pray, oh God, help me do your will. Thy will be done by me. That takes a lot of prayer to get the will of God done on earth. But here's the amazing, beautiful thing. The will of God is always done in heaven. One time it wasn't done, but it didn't work out well. The perpetrator of that and one third of heaven was kicked out. His name was Lucifer. He did not want to do the will of God. So in the heaven, the will of God is always done. So listen, the more the will of God is done, the more heaven you have on earth. The more heaven you have in your life. And God's will is done on earth through prayer. It's important to understand that we are not put on earth to do the best we can and hope and pray to go to heaven someday. Now, by all means, I plan to spend eternity in heaven. But God put me here for now. And He put me here as light in darkness. He said, I'm in the light of the world, but I'm leaving now and you're going to be the light. It is not, we are not here to get this over with. So we can get up there where everything is easy. Which some people only see heaven as a place to escape to. I see it as a place to aspire to bringing here. And then a place to spend eternity. Heaven is our final destiny. And heaven on earth is our present ministry. I really believe this thing. I believe this. I would be so bored if I were just here to be a Christian. I believe it's about bringing heaven to earth and really transforming lives and showing who Jesus is and bringing Him glory while we're here and experiencing His wonderful presence. Prayer. Praying His will and His kingdom on earth is the process of taking back what the enemy stole from mankind, beginning with Adam and Eve. Through disobedience, you know, they yielded dominion over everything on earth. Adam and Eve really had it made, but they wanted what God didn't give them. That tree. That one tree. They could have all the other trees. But they lost. And then the scripture says He had given them dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over the cattle and the earth and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. The Lord gave dominion over everything. But when they disobeyed, they came under a curse. But out of heaven, God sent Jesus to redeem man from his cursed state and restore him back to fellowship with God. Because Adam and Eve lost dominion through disobedience, it was necessary that a man, which is Christ Jesus, born of a woman, pay the price to win it back. And Jesus came through a woman in order to get access for man back in the earth realm. God accepted the sacrifice of Jesus. That's the gospel. His life and His death on the cross to atone for the sin of man, He came through the sacrifice of His own blood. And through His resurrection, He destroyed Satan's power. Everybody say, Jesus destroyed Satan's power. Well, don't believe any kind of mistranslation or any kind of doctrine that lets the devil still have the right to have power. He has no right to this. Then Jesus, after He took that power from the enemy, and the scripture says in Luke 10:19, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Behold, I give you power. Excuse me, let me say it how it really is. I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. So these little dumb things that happen to us, like sicknesses, these things are Satan's power. But Jesus said, we have authority over the power. We have authority over the power, and authority is greater than power, but you have to take it. So Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. That means the devil doesn't have it because it was given to Jesus. Now, the enemy even tried to deceive Jesus during the temptation in the wilderness. Do you remember? The devil took him and revealed to him all his kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he said, I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them, because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you will worship me. That's the deception of success. That's a deception of success. It looks like you... Listen, church, some people have the idea that you can get things from God. You can get things from heaven. You can get blessing without ever praying, without ever calling on God, without ever sacrificing. That you can just get it being passive and waiting for something to happen. That's a deception of success. You will never succeed. That's how the devil lies. He even told Jesus, you don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to do all this. Just one little bow and worship is all it will take. Well, I'm going to tell you, there are plenty of people who've chosen to bow to worship Satan. And there are people in churches who walk against the will of God, in which case they please the enemy. But that's a deception of success. And some people come to great places of admiration, even among God's people, but they haven't done it by getting it from heaven and by bowing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's my whole point. Until you pray, heaven doesn't have authorization to respond. And I could show it through you from Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. The things that people got that they needed, that answered their prayers, that brought miracles, that brought them into the supernatural, that changed nations, they got it out of heaven. And the way they got it out of heaven was calling on God and praying and getting the heavens open. Then the Lord would then dispatch angels, or sometimes sent hailstones from heaven to defeat the enemy. Whatever it was it took, God sent that. That's where the power is. Why did Jesus give us authority over the enemy unless we would need to overcome the enemy's challenge? He gave us that authority that he had when he was on earth because the battle was still going to go on. But the victory has already been won. It's up for us to take the authority that was gained in Jesus' victory, not just on the cross, but in hell. As he said, I have the keys of death and hell. And he overcame death and hell and the grave and has given all the authority to us to walk in his resurrection power. There was a man named Daniel who prayed 21 days. The heavens were open, and Gabriel came out to have a little chat with him. And he said, you know, I heard you from the first day you prayed, but I've been fighting, and only Michael, your archangel, fought with me. Now, this sounds like a fairy tale. Is this not a wonderful story? But this is the reality that prayer is real. Messages getting to heaven are real. Angels having jobs to do are real. Forces fighting angels are real. Warring angels fighting for you against those angels, that is all real. There's a warfare in the heavenlies. But the Lord has shown us how to pray, what to say, what to do, what scriptures to use. You know, Friday night in our prayer meeting, the lid really came off. It was great. You love it. I mean, if you're a person who says, well, I'm going to a prayer meeting, I really can't pray. Well, nobody will notice. I mean, there's so much going on. The Holy Spirit is moving so beautifully. Hey, just come and chow down on that wonderful reality that we have in those meetings. We are changing things. We are getting things done. I'm telling you, the greatest hope I have for the church is that we will pray the things into being that are the will of God. That's the greatest hope I have. It's not in people getting better. It's not in our teaching people so they'll act right. I don't have confidence in those things. But I have confidence that when we pray and get things out of heaven, they'll be the things that'll overcome everything on this earth. We thank God. Now, Daniel prayed this prayer because he was praying based on a prophecy that had been given, and it was supposed to be happening sometime soon. In 70 years, and I think this was the 66th year that he was praying. And the heavens opened to him. I want to tell you something. Listen carefully. Prophecy alone doesn't cause things to happen. There has to be a prayer that activates the prophecy. The prophecy had already been made. It was the word of God. But it took the prayer of a man. Everybody say, of a man. God has the thing arranged. The angels are not going as I have never noticed any place where angels pray for us. We have to do our own praying. Now, thank God Jesus intercedes for us. But he has made us co-laborers with him. A prophet is not enough. There has to be prayer. A prophecy is not enough. You know, Elijah brought a great prophecy. Remember? Well, he started out saying, it's not going to rain until I say so anymore. And that's real popular with people, I have prophecy like that. So 3.5 years later, it still hasn't rained. And now, he says, there's going to be rain and there's going to be a breakthrough. But he didn't just leave it to the prophetic word. The scripture says, then he went and thrust his head between his knees, which is the birthing position in the east. And so he was giving birth through prayer. He was birthing in the spirit the prophetic word that he had brought. Because prophecy is not enough. Prophecy gives the direction. Prophecy prepares the way. Prophecy gives what the prayer should be. But prayer is what activates the prophetic. And when he prayed, and as he prayed, he kept sending out his servant, go see if we've got our answer yet. Go see if we've got our answer yet. I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. And it wasn't long until he had to run off of that mountain because of the way the rain was coming down. In the book of Acts, when Peter was in prison, as Mike mentioned this morning, there was an angel that came because of prayer. Because Acts 12 says the church prayed. Oh my goodness. Had a prayer meeting. I bet most of the people came. They didn't even need to feel led. I think when they got there, they really prayed. I think they prayed a prayer that went right into the heavens. And as a result of prayer, an angel was sent. Angels aren't just sent because you're doing a nice job. Until we pray, heaven doesn't have authorization to respond. You know, the Lord gave us a prophecy through Prophet Victor just a few days ago. And it was regarding a pulpit, an altar that would be built right here in this place. And it was really a tremendous prophetic word because Victor was seeing this. I talked to him about it later. And he said, I just saw it rising up. I saw that this altar here had been 40 years being built. And then I saw that it just began to rise up and I saw oil being poured down from heaven. And people would run to that altar and everyone that touched it would be healed and delivered. We pray for healing. Heaven has healing. When heaven sends healing, people are healed. When we pray through an altar that gets activated from heaven by the very oil of heaven in healing, then when people touch that altar, they get healing. My mother told me about some of these healing ministries in the 50s. There was one man who had a tremendous healing ministry. He would pray for people until he'd get so exhausted he would just pass out. And then they would carry him out. And anyone that touched him as they were carrying him out was immediately healed. It's kind of a little bit like I'm talking about here. Get so much of what heaven has that people are instantly healed. Did you know that there's a healing river that's in heaven? But God's plan is to cause it to flow to the earth and through the sanctuary. I love this. I've been pondering this for weeks. When you get the time, you just go ahead and read Ezekiel 47 and just read it and rejoice and shout and praise God. Because that's the river that the Lord wants to flow through the sanctuary, and it's not in the millennium. Heaven wants to open up and bless people and give us days of heaven on earth to the people who will pray it through. Revelation 21 talks about the river that's in heaven. And it says in verse 27, 21, 27, and Revelation 22, 2. But in 27 he says, "And he showed me a river, a pure river of water, of clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God unto the Lamb." Notice the river in heaven proceeds out of the throne of God. The river on earth proceeds out from the altar. And it says, in the midst of the street of it, this is verse 2, is that Revelation 21, verse 2. In the midst of the street of it, I'm asking you because I don't quite know what my computer did right in there. But you can read it later. In the midst of the river, street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life. This river is coming out from the throne. Now this is heaven. Heaven's where God lives. I thought he was everywhere. Yep. Both. I can give you a scripture where it says Jesus is in heaven and on earth. It's in your Bible. And heaven is where he resides, and his throne is in heaven. And out from the throne in heaven, there is a river. On either side of the river, this verse describes it, verse 2, was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. In other words, the healing gift and the healing power and the healing flow never quit coming. And it's not just for you and me in our American churches. It's for the nations. And the one in Ezekiel 47, first I read to you about the one in heaven. Now the one in Ezekiel 47, verse 6 says, "And the Lord said to me," this is to the prophet Ezekiel, this is what the Lord is showing him, this river that he wants to create to flow in the earth and what that river is to do. And it comes out of the sanctuary. And he said, "Son of man, hast thou seen this?" Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and on the other. Sound familiar? Then said he unto me, "These waters issue out toward the east sanctuary, east country, and go down into the desert and into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed." Then the next verses are so wonderful because beginning at verse 9, it starts talking about the harvest. And how the Lord is sending His river of healing out to heal the harvest. This is how the fish are going to be caught. Verse 9. It shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, living and moving, not the nice people, not the sanctified saints, everything that liveth and moveth. A lot of people are guilty of that. It shall come to pass, everything that liveth, which receiveth and moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live, and there shall be a very great multitude of fish. Because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live, whither the river cometh. Church, what we need in this nation is a river that starts from the throne of God in heaven, comes to the sanctuaries in America, flows out of the sanctuary along with the healing ministries given to the saints, and touching everything that liveth or moveth, to have such a day, as Kenneth Hagin said, there was a day in the 50s that it was easy to get people healed. Everybody say, Lord, bring that day back. The Lord gave just a little touch of that for a number of years. But I'm saying, Lord, let it come and stay, because Bob Jones has a prophetic word that the glory is returning to the church, and this time it's not going to depart. I don't know about you, but I think we've lived long enough now that we don't have confidence in men. We don't have confidence in organizations. We don't have confidence in the government. We don't have confidence in all of these institutions that were supposed to help us be better off. We are not better off. We have some things that we didn't have, but we got a pile of things we don't want. I'm glad I said that. Now listen to this. It shall come to pass, verse 10, that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi even unto Engleam, and they shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. There's going to be a huge ingathering. There's going to be a huge harvest. How many are more ready now to minister in the harvest than you were a year ago? That's so good. How many are more ready than you were 6 months ago? See, this is good. That's even better. Now, how many of you know that when the harvest is fully ripe, you're going to have to lead, follow, or get out of the way? Because we're not going to wait for people who just want to be spectators. I promise you, if you're going to be a part of this thing, God's going to have it be all hands on deck. The very least, the very smallest, the children, we're all going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. You know why? Because all these years we've been getting the truth. We know what the truth is. We've been asking the Lord for the anointing level to rise, and it is rising. The freedom is rising. The worship is rising. And the victory is rising. Okay, getting ready to wind up right here. Would you believe it? We went so far so fast. So we got to pray into heaven to get what heaven wants to give you. Well, looks like, here's the lazy man's answer. Looks like if God knows what I need, He'd just give it to me. Well, fine. Then you don't want to have any communion with God, right? You don't want to have any relationship with God? You just want to be down here as a dummy that gets blessed by God all the time? I want something a little higher. I don't want just the blessing of God. I want the face. I want to know God. And I want us to have God encounters in this place. And Holy Ghost encounters. And I want to show you something here. And I hope this will lift your faith as it closes. The scripture says, it is the Father's good pleasure to give the kingdom to His children. I try to keep that foremost in my mind because the devil will tell you, God didn't want to give you that. He didn't want you to have anything. Well, he might give it to other people, but you're not worth getting the blessings of God. Well, you just tell him he's going to give them to me because I'm not worth it. Because Jesus' blood is worth it. If you get to thinking you're worth something, that's dangerous. But here's the thing that I want to leave with us. I want to leave this challenge. I want you to get aggravated by the promises that you can have anything you ask God for. I want that to aggravate you. You know why I've learned so much about healing in the past 2-3 years? I've been aggravated into it. I've come to a place where I see what it means. And I know we've got to not just be talking about healing. Oh, that church over there, they teach healing. Big deal. I want to be that church over there where people go and get healed. So John 14:12-14 is a scripture that tells us that we're going to do greater works even than he did. And it says in verse 13, whatever you ask in my name. Everybody say, whatever I ask. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now let me tell you what's encapsulated in this. Of course, what you're asking has to be the kind of thing where God can get glory. That's what's all in that capsule. He's not going to give you just any old wild thing you come up with. I believed him for a Cadillac and I only got a Ford. We're so materialistic that sometimes we kind of lose the thread on this thing. If it brings God glory, he's going to do these things. Now, if you shall ask, and he repeats it in verse 14. If you shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Now, there's another scripture in Matthew 18. I'm going to give you three scriptures today for you to be aggravated about. Matthew 18, Jesus said, if two agree as touching anything, if two agree as touching anything, they shall ask, it shall be done for them. If two agree, there's tremendous power in agreement, church. And this is why I taught my new members class yesterday. This is why we want everybody to agree with everybody in this church. Now, that doesn't mean that I like everything you do and every place you go and every car you buy and all that stuff. Who cares? I don't care. I tell the class, I don't care what kind of car you have. I don't care what kind of vacation you take. I don't care about any of that. I want us to be in agreement for the success of the journey. I've done a lot of shrugging through the years. Keeps things together better. You let every little thing bend you out of shape, all you're going to do is end up in disagreement. They did this and they didn't do that. So I say, and your point would be, we're all just wherever we are, wherever God has brought us to that point. And church is not about getting people to do everything we want them to do. It is not. It's about glorifying Jesus. It's about getting people healed. It's about bringing in the harvest. And I believe that, you know, that there is an Old Testament. No, it was Charles Spurgeon who said that you've got to have one blind eye and one deaf ear to make it in this business. Come on, don't let everything bother you. This thing is not perfect. This deal is not completely all worked out yet. I don't know how much of heaven he wants us to have. But I want to get as much as he wants us to have. He says that there's no more curse there. I want to be free from curse. I want all of us to be free from curses. He tells us all of the wonderful things that are there. And the thing that happens is every time it talks about God or Jesus, anytime there's angels around, they're just falling down worshiping. He's going to give us worship. That comes out of heaven. This morning, I thought we touched a little heaven in our worship. Because worship is not about how you like this played and what song you like best. That is not worship. That's you talking about worship. Worship is touching God. Worship is pleasing Him. Worship is looking to heaven. and expecting to have an encounter with God. Worship is opening your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. So you got two scriptures, right? John 14, John 18. Yeah, I have another one. Matthew 18. Never mind, everything's not in John. Most of it is. I love the book of John. Mark 14. This is the one. 22 through 24. Jesus answering said to them, "Have faith in God. For verily I say to you that whosoever shall say to this mountain." Who here is named whosoever? Come on, who here is named whosoever? All of you, every one of you. "Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart." You know, if you knew what, if you could see what was on the other side of that mountain, you'd be working on casting it down. "Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you desire." Oh, here's a whosoever followed by a whatsoever. "Whosoever can ask whatsoever," that means anybody, anything. My, how big-hearted God is! "Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Mark 11, 22 through 24. And the verse immediately following that great promise says, "And when you stand praying," now listen carefully, "forgive." Now, you got to have your love walk right. This is what Jesus is saying. In this one, Jesus reveals, you can have anything, but you got to be in love with everybody. Oh, you got to be kidding, Pastor. No, I'm not. I'm talking about loving people that don't suit you. You just soon had chosen another church. You'd be willing for them to choose one now. Anything. I'm just saying it's not about our preferences. It's about what God wants us to be on the inside. You know, we've got some terrific people in this church. I'm not saying that they're all perfect, but I'm saying if you can't like a whole bunch of people in this church, we'll minister to you. You know, the past two Saturdays, I've been to parties out to Eastman Cabin for one for Tommy's birthday and one for Beverly's going away party. That's a ridiculous word, going away party. We did not party about it. But, you know, in both of those situations, people stood at the end and said, "This is what this person means to me." And then we prayed for that person. And you saw what these people had done for people. I thought, I am glad I go to a church like that, where you can get something when you need it. Now, I said to Mary again this morning, Mary Randolph, "Mary, we are here for you. When Jay comes home the next couple of weeks, she's going to need maybe somebody to help her with meals. I don't know what she wants, but are we here for Mary or what?" And when you love each other and you're determined, as Kenneth Hagin taught me, not to allow any trace of animosity toward anyone to come into your heart, you're walking by the law of love. You simply decide, now, I forgive that person. I bless that person. If that just makes you grind your teeth terribly, then after you forgive them and bless them, go on to something else. Don't keep thinking. Don't keep pondering it. The Lord will heal you if you keep taking the right steps. So, see this? See the condition? Is that the thing needs to glorify God, and we have to be walking in the law of love. Man, it's not a whole lot to ask. And if we ask anything according to His will, in another scripture, it says, it shall be done. If we ask anything according to His will, well, what if it's not according to His will? I'm glad you asked that, because that's going to be my last point. There is so much confusion about the will of God, and I'm telling you, the sovereignty of God, the teaching about it, is going to take on new clarity and understanding in the day that we live in, because God has left a lot of it up to us. And what we do or don't do is going to have a lot to do with other people's futures. And so we say, you know, I'm just going to pray this, you know, if it's the will of God. I like this Kenneth Hagin said once. He said, you know, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So he said, when I was pastoring, if there was a big problem in the church, I'd say, Lord, you've got a problem in your church there. And he said, I wouldn't go get involved in a big battle and a big tussle. He said, I don't care if the deacons got in a fight in the front yard. I'd say, Lord, looks like you've got a problem to deal with in your church. And he said, I would go to the Lord because I believe that prayer was a greater power than me trying to straighten things out. Now, church, how many things we've prayed through? We've prayed spirit forces out of this place and off of people, and we've prayed situations into being. We've prayed finances through, haven't we? Amen. And all of the things that God wants for us, these things have been prayed through. Yes, we prosper. Yes, there's a wonderful heavenly atmosphere. It's all because we touch heaven through prayer. That's where the whole thing comes from. And so Kenneth Hagin says, you've got to believe God that he's going to take care of his own things. And then it is our responsibility to know what the will of God is. Hey, you don't have to be weird about it. God is so much more loving than people ever dreamed he was. Now, it might be his will for me to get beat up every day. I don't think so. The enemy has a will too. And you make mistakes. And accidents can happen. Everything that happens is not the will of God. But he sees you in your plight. And as you touch heaven, he sends his angels or whatever it takes to get you up out of those situations. Now, I've had people say that, you know, I was asking the Lord about this recently because I said, Lord, can we really just say, I'm believing you with all my heart for this thing and really expect you to give that to us? I want to read you this quote from Bill Johnson. I have to find it. Somebody was up here preaching and messed up my pages. Here we go. Bill Johnson made this statement. Listen how good this is. We are not robots. God is making himself vulnerable to the desires of his people. If you read your Bible, you'll see it all through the Bible. Now, Abraham said, Lord, what are you going to do for me, seeing that I'm childless? Well, I'm just going to give you children like the stars. And glad you asked. And there's a lot of things that people just ask God for in the Bible, and he seemed to do it. Just because they were the one who asked. The only prayers God won't answer are those that violate his purpose for you. The only prayers that God won't answer are those that violate his purpose for you. Now, Victor and I were having a conversation, and I said, we were talking about how you need money and it's necessary for what you need to do, but who wants to collect a big pile of it for what? I said, I'm going to tell you what really matters to me, Victor, is fulfilling my destiny. What God has for me. Now, having said that, every prayer that I pray for something necessary in order for me to fulfill the destiny God has given me is the will of God. Therefore, I know that when I pray for a total omega over my healing so I can feel free to travel anywhere in the world, I know I pray in the will of God. Yeah. Now, he's not going to say that. No, I gave you this destiny, but I really did want to frustrate you about it as much as I could. No, I am frustrated sometimes, but he's not the frustrator. He's the deliverer all through the Bible. He's the one that gets people out of what the devil and the flesh put them into. And when you get to, I want you to believe this. I'm doing a work for God. I'm asking God to do these things for me. I'm believing God he's going to do these things for me. I put in a $500 special seed offering this morning. And I'm asking God for a particular thing, and I believe I'm going to get it. It's something that I need that's directly connected with my destiny. And I'm saying, Lord, I believe you to respond to this. I'm just doing this as an act of faith. I want you to know how much I want that to happen. You know, there's blessing in sacrifice. And the Lord, and beyond that, I'm going to pray every day about this thing. I'm going to bind it to the will of God. Because the will of God is not confusing. People are. The will of God is not confusing. He sets you on a path. He has something for you to do. He wants you to have gifts in order to do it. He wants you to have the finances to do it with. He wants you to get with the people so that you can get it done. He wants you to be healed of your sicknesses so that you can have the strength to do what you need to do. Because he does not want you to be held back from doing his will. So I want everybody to stand to your feet right now because I want us to just believe God together. Whatever thing that is standing in your way, it might be the enemy has said it's impossible. Could be that somebody said it was impossible. Maybe even some medical person told you it was impossible. Well, I've been told that a time or two. They were wrong. It might have been impossible to them, but it's not impossible to God. And see, we got to pay the price to know the will of God and get into place where the battle is going on in the heavens and pray these things through and just simply believe God. There's all kinds of things you want to do for me, to me, through me. And I'm going to start believing you that I am going to ask you with all of my heart for these things. And I'm going to get the yes answer to my prayers. I want you to believe God this morning that you're going to touch heaven.